Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Han and Whitaker family, for leading us in music ministry this morning and worship. It was a wonderful time, wonderful rehearsal of great truths that can carry us here in 2025. If you are a child in first through third grade, this is your sign to exit the sanctuary at this time and go to your class. We have a new scripture memory verse for 2025. It's from the Gospel of John. We're going to be looking forward, starting next week, to a six-week series called Encounters with Jesus, where we will be looking at six different encounters Jesus had with various individuals during his earthly ministry. And our first encounter is with Nicodemus, and that is found in John chapter 3. And so to prepare us for next Sunday's message and for rehearsal of our monthly memory verse, let's say John 3:3 together. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." John 3:3. Wow, what wonderful truth. Those who are born again will see the kingdom of God. And it's very, very hopeful. For those of us who are born again and those who are not yet born again, this is hopeful truth for you as well. If you're born again, one day you will see, inherit the kingdom of God. So where are we going in 2025? What a wonderful question. Perhaps that's a question many of you have asked over the course of the last few weeks. Where are we? Where am I going? Maybe personally you've asked that to yourselves. Maybe you've asked that in the context of your family. Well, on Sunday mornings in 2025, at least over the next 6 to 8 months, where are we going? I just mentioned we're going to be starting next week a six-week mini-series called Encounters with Jesus. And after that series ends, we are going to start the book of Colossians in the New Testament, which I look forward to, and that will take us up through the end of May. So exciting times. I don't know, did anybody in here make any New Year's resolutions this year? No? Some of you said no. Some of you said yes. One of my New Year's resolutions, it was very interesting how it worked itself out this week. I had a New Year's resolution to not always feel like I need to spring into action and solve all of life's troubles that come up in our home. You know how sometimes our spouse comes to us, or maybe a friend comes to us, maybe a loved one comes to us, and they come with great anxiety and lots of questions, and maybe our problem-solving selves and our fix-it selves are like, "I know what to do." And so I endeavored this year that I was going to be patient and be a better listener. And so I was trying to do that, and I was listening, and then my lovely spouse, who has stayed with me all these years in spite of my weirdness, she said to me, she said, "What if I actually do want you to help me with something, like figure something out?" I said, "Oh, well, you're going to have to ask for that kind of help this year, because I'm going to be a lot more careful to try not to solve all of the world's problems this year." Another New Year's resolution for myself, I'm not very hopeful for. That is, I thought I'd do something about this hair, but it's just, I was talking to someone today. It doesn't work like the Chia Pets. I kind of wish it would, you know, like if I just fed myself more vegetables, things would happen, but that doesn't seem to be how it goes. But many of us around this time of year look for a roadmap for these resolutions that we make. And as believers, as followers of Christ, we are looking for a roadmap for faithfulness. Because really the goal of the Christian life is to live faithfully in accordance with Jesus, his words and his ways. And ironically, we can go to the Old Testament, to the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, to one of the Psalms, Psalm chapter 37. And in that psalm, we can find for ourselves a roadmap for faithfulness in 2025. And that's the psalm we're going to be exploring together today. It's a psalm that really leads us to the question of what does faithfulness look like How can we live it out in our day-to-day lives as individuals and as communities? And so if you have your Bibles, you want to take them and turn them to Psalm chapter 37. Now, we're going to do something a little different today. Sometimes we stand to read the scriptures. Today, we're going to stay seated because we're going to read the entire psalm, and it is a little bit long, but I think it's important that we do this because the contents of this psalm are so valuable to us heading into 2025. I just want to take time together as a community to set our minds and our eyes on the same text and to read all of it. So I'm going to be reading from the ESV today. If you have a Bible where you can choose your translation, you want to choose the ESV translation. That's the one I'm going to be reading from. Psalm chapter 37, all of it. And before we read, let's pray and we'll ask the Lord to help us as we study. Father, this is today's daily bread. You have given it to us to sustain us, to supply for our need. Lord, through our study of your word, you can change us, you can transform us, you renew our minds, you challenge our hearts, you lift us up and set us ahead on a road that we could walk on to build others up and glorify you as we do that. And so we turn our attention to Psalm 37 today, the Psalm of David, because in it there is a roadmap for how we could live in faithful accordance with your words and your ways in 2025. Help us to be challenged through your text today. Help us to hear, to learn, to grow, to pay attention to that which you would have for us. This is good for us. We need this, Lord, and we know that you're working even now to apply to us exactly what we need for this moment. So we give you this time, and we thank you for how you're working in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 37. Here we go. Do not fret when wicked men seem to succeed. Do not envy evildoers, for they will quickly dry up like grass and wither away like plants. Trust in the Lord and do what is right. Settle in the land and maintain your integrity. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and he will answer your prayers. Commit your future to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act on your behalf. He will vindicate you in broad daylight and publicly defend your just cause. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait confidently for him. Do not fret over the apparent success of a sinner, a man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not be angry and frustrated. Do not fret. That only leads to trouble. Wicked men will be wiped out. But those who rely on the Lord are the ones who will possess the land. Evil men will soon disappear. You will stare at the spot where they once were, but they will be gone. But the oppressed will possess the land and enjoy great prosperity. Evil men plot against the godly and viciously attack them. The Lord laughs in disgust at them, for he knows that their day is coming. Evil men draw their swords and prepare their bows to bring down the oppressed and needy and to slaughter those who are godly. Their swords will pierce their own hearts. Their bows will be broken. The little bit that a godly man owns is better than the wealth of many evil men. For evil men will lose their power, but the Lord sustains the godly. The Lord watches over the innocent day by day, and they possess a permanent inheritance. They will not be ashamed when hard times come. When famine comes, they will have enough to eat. But evil men will die. The Lord's enemies will be incinerated. They will go up in smoke. Evil men borrow, but do not repay their debt. But the godly show compassion and are generous. Surely those favored by the Lord will possess the land, but those rejected by him will be wiped out. The Lord grants success to the one whose behavior he finds commendable. Even if he trips, he will not fall headlong. The Lord holds his hand. I was once young. Now I am old, and all God's people. Okay. And that is the verse we're going to spend our time focusing on today. 25. I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children forced to search for food. All day long, they show compassion and lend to others, and their children are blessed. Turn away from evil Do what is right. Then you will enjoy lasting security. For the Lord promotes justice and never abandons his faithful followers. They are permanently secure, but the children of the wicked are wiped out. The godly will possess the land and will dwell in it permanently. The godly speak wise words and promote justice. The law of their God controls their thinking. Their feet do not slip. The wicked set an ambush for the godly and try to kill them, but the Lord does not surrender the godly or allow them to be condemned in a court of law. Rely on the Lord. Obey his commands, and then he will permit you to possess the land. You will see the demise of the wicked. I have seen ruthless, wicked people growing in influence, like a green tree grows in its native soil. But then one passes by, and suddenly they have disappeared. I looked for them, but they could not be found. Take note of the one who has integrity. Observe the upright, for the one who promotes peace has a future. Sinful rebels are totally destroyed. The wicked have no future. But the Lord delivers the godly. He protects them in times of trouble. The Lord helps and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and delivers them, for they seek his protection. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word today. We begin with the theme in the first 9 verses: trust in the Lord. To be headed in the right direction in 2025, friends, we must start with a deep rootedness and a firm foundation of trust in the Lord. As we look at this psalm, Psalm 37, the Hebrew language actually blends seamlessly from chapter 36. We can see it on the screen, where at the end of chapter 36, it says, I can see the evildoers. They have fallen. They have been knocked down. They're unable to get up. And right into 37, it says, do not fret then when wicked men seem to succeed. Do not envy evildoers. The Psalms, sometimes we may read the Psalms in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament and think, oh, they seem to be so arbitrarily put together, but that's not the case. The Word of God is crafted so beautifully. It's wonderful craftsmanship. King David uses a teaching tool in this Psalm. Psalm 37 is actually an acrostic. It means that each grouping of the verses begin with the successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, some of you may have noticed this in another place in your Bible and may not have ever realized what you were looking at. If you've ever looked at Psalm 119, and you notice above each of the section headers in Psalm 119, there's a word that is not an English word when you look at it, right? And you'll see those same words on the screen. Those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so this is a very wise teaching tool. It's a tool that's used for retention and for ease of corporate rehearsal. That means that the community, the nation of Israel, was to revisit this psalm over and over again and really soak themselves in its truths, to be reminded of who God was and how God related to them. When evil seems to prosper. Do we live in a world where evil seems to prosper? Yes. When evil seems to prosper and wickedness increasingly seems to know no boundaries, we are to remember and rehearse and reflect on this: our hope is in the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's not in men. Our hope is in the Lord. This is like an ancient hymnal. It was given to the community of Israel. We encourage one another as Christian communities, and we build one another up when we proclaim and we recite these words to one another. And it may work something like this. Somebody may come in on Sunday morning, right even into the foyer here, maybe Wednesday night in the middle of the week, and life has been really hard. It's been a really difficult week. Maybe some terrible things have happened to them. Maybe some terrible things have been done to them. And we can draw back and come together around this truth that our hope is in the Lord. We can trust in him. He is steadfast. Verses 1 to 9 remind us that when our trust is in the Lord, we have nothing to fear. Watch how this works. Verses 1 and 2, do not fear or envy evildoers. There are some who may temporarily succeed, These folks and their successes, they will have a very short shelf life. Verses 3 to 4, instead of having fear and envy for evildoers, trust in the Lord. Do what is right. Live with integrity. Verses 5 and 6, commit our future plans to the Lord. Maybe some of us did this at the beginning of this new year. Some of us set goals. Some of us write down habits that we'd like to pick up, things that we'd like to build into our lives in a new year. And I would hope that as we did that, we prayerfully did that, committing those plans that we were making to the Lord and trusting that we are in His hands and He will help us. I love verse 7. Wait patiently for the Lord. That's hard, right? Oh, we live in such a fast-paced society. Patience, that's not my virtue. Maybe it is a virtue for some of you. I don't know. It certainly is a virtue, but it's a hard one. The scriptures tell us, wait patiently. Over and over again, it's a theme. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be confident and expectant that God is working even when we cannot see. And then verses 8 and 9 again bring us back to this reality. Do not be angry or grow frustrated. Do not fear. Do not fear. The wicked will be wiped out, but those who rely on the Lord inherit His promises. Friends, if our focus in 2025, or really any time, but we're talking about this year, if our focus in 2025 is on the injustices and the sins and the circumstances that are hard, that are embedded in this world, much of the time and energy that we spend is going to be spent on bitterness and anger and hostility, anxiety. When we focus on those things, did you ever notice that in yourselves? When we get sucked into those things, our anxiety starts to grow. Our worry starts to grow. Sometimes we begin to doubt. A lot of times we're overwhelmed with fear. Worry. However, if our focus remains on our hope is in the Lord and trusting the Lord, if we remember the steadfast hope that we have in Jesus and we rehearse it regularly together in community and with one another, we've lifted our minds out of the muck and mire of this world and have set them firmly on things that are above. The fruit of this sort of thinking, church, is a love that overflows with joy, peace, patience, and many other hallmarks of godly wisdom. And this, I don't want to write some pie in the sky thing for this year and walk away from here today and pretend and believe that this is easy. We just go out and we just do this and everything's all good and all the time it's just peaches and roses. We know that that's not how life is. There are times in our day-to-day lives, even maybe so far at the beginning of this new year, maybe some of you even entered into one of these times already where we will grow weary, where things are going to be hard, where we may be overwhelmed by the creeping influence of evil in this world. And when this is the case, where and to whom do we turn? Who is the one who's able to motivate the endurance within us to continue? Who is the one who can sustain us? This is where King David turns his attention in the next section of this psalm in verses 10 through 22. Here David begins to contrast between the end of the intentions of the evildoers and the eternal purposes of God. Now watch how he does this. We'll put it on the screen and just review it together. On one side, we have the evildoers. Verse 10, they will soon disappear. Verse 12, what's something else they do? They plot against and they attack the godly. Verse 14, they draw their swords to oppress and to slaughter. Verse 17, the promise is that they're going to lose their power. Verse 20, they will die, they will be incinerated. I like these words. They will go up in smoke. Verse 21, they borrow and do not repay. Verse 22, their punishment is going to be for their rebellion. But then on the other side, in 10 through 22, but God, what does God do? What are His eternal plans and purposes? He provides in verse 11 for those who are oppressed. In verse 13, he laughs in disgust at the plans of the evil. In verse 15, he turns the swords of the evil and breaks their bows. In verse 16, there's honor for the little bit that the godly has. Honor for the little bit that the godly has. In verse 17, it actually talks about how he sustains those who are godly. In verse 18, he's watching over the innocent. In verse 18, he's giving a permanent inheritance to those who are faithful. In verse 19, he's providing in abundantly when in times of lack. In verse 21, he's instilling compassion and generosity in his people. And in verse 22, there are rewards for faithful obedience. Some biblical scholars have noted how seamlessly the wisdom of chapter 37 here in Psalms for the godly blends into the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. If we remember where there's power, where there's might, where there's pride, where there's prestige that are prevailing, there's often evil that follows. But God raises up the gentle, the meek, the lowly, while bringing the prideful and the arrogant low. And why this message is true. We hear this message. We hear it in the Old Testament. We see Jesus teach about it in the New Testament, that those who are lowly will be raised up and those who are high and mighty will be brought down. While those things are true, it's hard to live according to those things. Because lowliness, gentleness, meekness, let me just ask this. When's the last time you saw a commercial celebrating any of those things? When's the last time you saw a commercial saying, be gentle? When's the last time you heard anybody on TV, actually, on any outlet, anywhere, say, the meek will inherit the earth? Be humble. It's not celebrated. It's not celebrated in our culture, in our world. And so it's hard for us, when we live in a place such as we live, it's hard for us sometimes to believe these things are true. Nearly everything and everyone around us celebrates and endorses attitudes and behaviors that are incongruent with Jesus. But there is a right way to live in this world. And it looks very different than what is often celebrated by the world. And God promises to be faithful, to elevate the communities and individuals who are faithful to live in accordance with his words and his ways. So maybe a question is, how can we know that we can trust and live by this? How can we know? If our culture doesn't celebrate it, if our world doesn't celebrate it, if we don't see it in front of us, in all the places that we find ourselves being entertained or going to and being a part of, how can we know, how can we trust, how can we live by this? The reality is, friends, living differently, living as an alien and sojourner in this world, as one who is often feeling like an outsider, it can feel lonely. And yet, we serve a God who has promised to never leave us. We sang about this today. Thanks, Matt and Leanne and Whitaker family. We sang about some of these truths today. We serve a God who's promised to never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us. Therefore, we can live with the unshakable confidence that we are never alone. We're never alone. God never abandons his people. God is always faithful. Amen? That's great truth to live by in 2025. I feel lonely. Things are really hard. Man, it seems like we just are living so differently. It just appears that we feel like we're out of place. Some of you have shared with me, you feel that way. That's probably the right way to feel in this culture, in this world. As though we're out of place. God is with us. God is with those who are faithful. He's not abandoning them. He's not leaving us. He's not forsaking us. He is always faithful. And with these verses, in verses 23 to 31, David is going to turn to the experiences of his own life to give encouragement to the community of faith. Now, was David a perfect leader? Was David a perfect leader? No. We know. Some of you in your minds right now can think of three or four ways that David messed up. Pretty big. He was not a perfect leader, but he was a man who God himself describes as being after God's own heart. Now, verse 23 of Psalm 37 talks about God granting success to the one whose behavior he finds commendable. And some of us would look at the life of David and think, wow. Now, David's writing this psalm, remember. But what's followed? What follows verse 23? Look at verse 24. So verse 23, God will grant success to the one whose behavior he finds commendable. And then verse 24, what does it say? Even if what? Even if he trips. Even if he stumbles. He will not fall headlong. For the Lord holds his hand. Did David trip and stumble in his leadership? Pretty mightily. Some might say pretty regularly too, throughout his leadership journey. David was humbled. One of the qualities of David's leadership is when he was confronted about ways that he had fallen short, about ways that he had stumbled, about ways that he had sinned. When he was confronted about those things, what do we find that he does so often in his leadership? When he's confronted, he confesses. He repents and turns away. There's entire psalms in the book of Psalm where David is pouring out his heart before the Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Confessing his sin before the Lord. When he's approached about sin in his life, he's humbled. He doesn't get all defensive and angry and resentful, but we see the testimony of his life, the pattern of his leadership is that he's humbled to confession, postures of confession and repentance. The Lord never abandoned him. The Lord never forsaked him. Verse 27 carries this theme with the words, turn away from evil. This, friends, that's a clear and simple definition of repentance. We hear that word a lot in the church. It's a word that simply means to turn away from evil and turn to God. His ways are better. Turn away from evil, cling to the Lord. In 2025, I am sure and I am certain that all of us, every one of us in this room, are going to sin. I'm just going to say that. If anybody wrote down a New Year's resolution, no sinning in 2025, we're in for trouble. The reality is, friends, in 2025, every one of us in this room or watching online is going to stumble. We're going to trip. We're going to fall into sins that are going to carry all sorts and kinds of consequences and difficult things in our lives. And when we do, myself included, will we remember who is with us and who is holding our hand to help us? God doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. Confession, friends, and repentance are part of a lifestyle that has committed itself to obedience, to humility, and to trust that God never leaves us or forsakes us, even in our sin. The one who recognizes how greatly they've been forgiven will also be quick to forgive others. You see, God promises forgiveness. He promises reconciliation, repair, restoration for the one or for the community who will humble themselves and seek it, especially when we're confronted with ways that we have fallen short, when we become aware of the ways that we have sinned. And that's hard, but it's real. It's humbling, but it's real to admit when we're wrong, to admit when we sin. One of the New Year's resolutions that I saw about as I was reading some articles this week was a person said that they were going to be quicker this year to repair relationships and ask for forgiveness when they broke them. Boy, what a great resolution. That's a hard one, though. I would endeavor to say that's harder than getting up and exercising every morning. Asking forgiveness and repairing relationships that we've broken through our behaviors. That's hard. That is hard, real life stuff that requires the Lord and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, bringing us to a place of humility and concern where we care enough and love that other person enough to go and make it right. To seek the forgiveness and seek the reconciliation and the repair that's needed, knowing that God's already forgiven us in Christ Jesus. You know what else is interesting in this section? David doesn't just talk about this idea of tripping and falling headlong and the Lord holding our hand, but he also talks about this promise of lasting security for those who live with this attitude of confession and repentance and humility. In verse 28, God never abandons his faithful followers. They are permanently secure. And the idea of permanence, it inhabits this section of these verses. David frequently uses these words, words like never, like lasting, permanent, and security. He's helping us see that God's reward for his faithful people goes long beyond our temporal experiences here on earth. But David doesn't just leave us with this kind of like, well, God commends the behaviors of the faithful are commendable. He actually answers the question of what those behaviors look like in these verses as well. What are behaviors that are commendable before God then? For seeking to live faithfully in 2025, what kind of behaviors are the behaviors that David identifies as being commendable to God? Verse 26, showing compassion and lending to others. Verse 27, repenting or turning away from evil and doing what is right. Verse 30, speaking words of wisdom. Verses 26 through 30, promoting and doing justice, both. And this whole section, that our thoughts and our ways would be informed and ordered by God and his word. Not by our own ways, but by the ways that God has written about and given to us in his word. Friends, the Bible has tremendous agreement from the Old through the New Testament on these insights. We have it here in Psalms and the wisdom literature. We have it in the prophets. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. God does not change. These are things that he valued. In the prophecy of Micah, these are still things he values for his people today. Our God has not changed. We already mentioned how Jesus has fleshed out these right attitudes and behaviors in his Sermon on the Mount. Paul also further expounds on these ideals in sections of his letter. We can find it in Romans 12. You can read Galatians chapter 5 and 6 and find a lot of these same ideals that are in Psalm 37 in those same chapters that Paul writes. Those who scorn God heap scorn and condemnation upon themselves. And those who humble themselves before God, coming to him through Jesus, find a favor that lasts for eternity. Friends, in 2025, there's going to be times, it was alluded to today in our prayer, Michael prayed it so wonderfully, that there's going to be times in 2025 when peaks and valleys of daily living overwhelm us. There's going to be times when we find ourselves pulled under the water of loss or tossed and turned by the waves of injustice. We have a God who sustains. We have a God who is with us. We have a God who is a true and faithful shelter from life's most difficult storms. That's who he is. And as we sit here today, we do not know. I don't know what 2025 is going to hold. We have some plans we've made. We have purposes, we have hopes, we have dreams. Whether or not these things come to pass, we do not know, but we do know something. We know that the location of our greatest security and rest and refuge is found in the Lord. That will never change. In a world where there is so much uncertainty, that certain truth is so comforting to cling to. We can find our refuge and strength in the Lord. And that's where David is going to land this psalm in verses 32 to 40. He'll wrap up his hymn by settling on the place where we find our true rest and security. The Lord is our refuge. Friends, for as long as we have breath in this world, there's going to be conflict that exists between the wicked and the righteous, between the faithless and the faithful. Verse 33 of Psalm 37. The Lord does not surrender the godly or allow them to be condemned in a court of law. Now, let me ask you, what does that sound like to you? Where do you hear those words in the New Testament? Maybe some of you can think of a place where you hear very similar words in the New Testament. Paul writes about the confidence of God's elect, his chosen children, those who have come to know him through Jesus. The words of Psalm 37, verses 32 to 40 are taken up by Paul and expressed to those who endeavor to live faithfully in this manner. And I want to read it. It's so powerful. Romans 8, 31 to 39. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? Now watch. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who is the one who will condemn? Christ is the one who died, and more than that, he was raised. Who is at the right hand of God and who is also interceding for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famineness? There we go. Nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we encounter death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, verse 37, no, no. Confidence for 2025? In all of these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wicked are going to seek to condemn. The wicked are going to seek to do injustice. Paul, or the psalmist David, uses these words about being condemned in a court. God does not abandon his faithful followers. And so with this compelling truth fueling our confidence, we began today looking for a roadmap for faithful living in 2025. And as David brings a conclusion to Psalm 37, he ties together many of the themes that he's already rehearsed. Verse 34, rely on the Lord, obey his commands. Verses 35 and 36, the ruthless wicked, they may temporarily gain power and influence, but one day, soon, almost suddenly, they will disappear. Verse 37, don't look to the wicked. Instead, look to those who live with integrity. Look to those who are righteous and upright. Find the ones promoting peace, those who are faithful, who are pointing us towards our brighter and more hopeful future. Friends, if you don't have a mentor, somebody guiding you, somebody who's out in front of you a few years, maybe 10, 12 years out in front of you, if you don't have a mentor, what a great thing to put down as a goal in 2025. That'd be a great one. Those of you that are watching online, same thing. Find a spiritual mentor. Find somebody 10 to 12 years out in front of you who's living life with integrity, who's living life righteously, who's wanting to follow and serve the Lord, who's raising their family in the precepts and the ways of the Lord. And attach yourself to that person. build a relationship with them, pursue them. What a great goal for 2025. Look to those who live with integrity, verse 37. And then finally, as we seek the Lord in 2025, remember verses 39 and 40. He delivers the godly. He's our protector in times of trouble. Friends, our Lord rescues and delivers those who seek his protection. The Lord is our refuge and strength. And so how about some faithful patterns for disciples in 2025? I think there's three that we could grab hold of in this text today in Psalm 37. First, a growing dependence. Can we fill and fuel our day with prayer and scripture? I'm not sure what your pattern is, what your routine is, but friends, I hope every one of you have a pattern or a routine for the daily engagement of scripture and prayer. Whether it's the first thing you do in the morning, whether it's part of your morning routine, whether it's something you do on your lunch break or something you do on your ride home from work, maybe you listen to the scriptures on your way home. I don't know what it is for you, but every day, every single day should be fueled and filled with prayer and scripture. Not just a moment, but throughout the day. Make it a habit. Make scripture a habit. That's a growing dependence on the Lord. When we inhabit the scriptures and we spend time in prayer, we're showing that we are depending on the Lord. We're not depending on our own strength, on our own efforts to get through the day, but we ask for his help and we seek his help regularly. How about a growing humility? Maybe this is a year, maybe 2025 is a year to lean into confession and repentance. Maybe 2025 is a great year to ask the Lord to help repair and restore relationships that have been broken or maybe muddled by sin. Maybe there's been some things that we could go and apologize for and make amends for in 2025. Maybe there's people that we need to go and repair relationships with. Maybe it's coworkers, maybe it's neighbors, family members, I don't know. But this attitude of a growing humility where we're relying on the Lord and practicing God's presence with us. He hasn't abandoned us. He's with us when we go and we do these things. He's empowering us. He's fueling us to do it. To go and to confess and to repent and to repair and to make things right. He can do that. Look, he can do that, friends, but it takes humility. Or how about a growing love? Paying attention for opportunities to demonstrate compassion and generosity. The Lord gives that to his people. He grows his fruit in us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. There are opportunities every day to demonstrate compassion and generosity in our lives, to be people who give and don't take, to be people who love and don't condemn. These are the ways of faithfulness. These are the things which God has given praise in this chapter of Psalms. These are the things that he honors. These are the things that he alone is worthy of.